It's time for us to turn our attention to the world of AFL football. Round 10 is in the box. We've got my team sitting atop the table at the moment, who is clearly, I think, the best team in football. They just continue to impress the mighty Magpies. They're on top of the ladder. And we've got a team down the bottom who might be the worst team in history of football. Well, perhaps not the history, but certainly for a long period of time, the West Coast Eagles. So top and tail looks indifferent. In between, we've got some storylines. Jordan Lewis helps us on a Monday morning go through all those. The full-time premiership hero of the Hawks, Fox Footy legend. He's a bit under the weather, they tell me. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Huss. I was meant to do a game yesterday. Fox and I was in bed all day. I mean, I'm trying to pinpoint where it came from, but I'm sort of thinking last Monday when Matty Stewart came into the into the studio, and that sound that I've never heard before. Ever since then, I haven't felt too great.
That was a deep... It came from the bowels, at the mouth, but from the bowels, I reckon, from Matty Stewart. That might have been the moment. That's a very, very astute observation from you.
Yeah, so it was a day in bed, which isn't too bad every now and then, but just it allowed me to watch the football in peace and quiet without any tin lids coming to annoy me. So, another great weekend in footy. Some big games, some big performances, some performances that were not so good, which would make some plane trips on the way back to your destination or on the way back to home long and arduous. So, yeah, there's certainly some talking points that come out of the weekend, that's for sure.
Well, we're going to get to your podium shortly, but can I just continue that conversation for a bit? You're referring to the West Coast Eagles mainly there, who had to go to Tassie to play the Hawks, end up losing by 116 points and then fly home. It's probably the longest flight in football, or longest time in a plane from Tassie to Melbourne, then Melbourne to WA. What's your take on the West Coast Eagles? I mean, you've worked under Adam Simpson at the Hawks many moons ago. You've seen them win a premiership 5 years ago. What's your take on what's going on at the West Coast Eagles?
I like Simo. I think he can... once again, be a great coach. A lot's been made about their injuries, so that is an excuse to a certain point. Now you come up against the side who were currently sitting 16th at the start of the game, so 16th versus 18th, and you get beaten by 116 points. So that then points to effort, intent, and the way that. I think Adam Simpson needs to take some responsibility for a performance like that. I think you're right in your opening. This might be one of the worst performances that we've seen. You know, to come up against a side two spots above you who are going through a development phase, yet you come out and you get beaten off the park like they did. And to only have, let's say, 29 inside 50s for 2 hours of football, I mean, if you are on an AFL list, you need to be a lot more competent than that.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen too many darker days in football, to be honest. And we probably don't see the full wrath of it because we're here in Victoria, and I would imagine over there it would be quite scathing, their performances, and you know, there's probably one player in that team that could get on that plane and maybe turn left and have a nice comfy ride on the way home is Dom Sheed. Everyone else, you know, failed to perform.
Yeah, it was a horrible performance. As you say, Hawthorn haven't been sitting in the water light, although I did have my tongue in my cheek firmly early this morning, Jordan, when I said clearly they're the emerging powerhouse on the back of that performance.
but once again, I mean, commentary's funny, and you listen to... commentary around Hawthorn for the better part of a month, and yeah, they're tanking. They don't want to win any games. What an absolute crock of so to come out and perform the way that they did, and see once again, I think if you're a follower of any side, you want to see direction and you want to see a plan. So you need to go to a game and that be evident. And I think this is what Hawthorn are showing at the moment. Yes, they're not going to be world beaters, but you can see the emergence of their younger talent, and you know, once again, we saw, you know, Josh Weddle probably had to have, you know, in his short career, have his best performance. So you see these guys come through, and you know, Mitch Lewis stands up. Brockman, I love Brockman. You know, shows some real toe and pace you know, in that half forward line. So you can see what they're building towards, but it's going to be a long and slow process. But you just need to see direction.
Yep. Well, we saw that in the weekend from the Hawks, and the way they moved the ball was way too easy. It was witch's hat stuff from the West Coast Eagles, and it's, I reckon you're right. I reckon Simo's got to take plenty of heat for certainly that performance on the weekend. That was uncompetitive, which is what we don't want to see in the world of football. But there were some great things to see in the world of football, and that's what we talk about when you get here on a Monday morning with your podium. Who's on the bottom step of the podium, top three performances from the weekend?
Well, we had to wait until the Sunday to see probably the most anticipated game of the weekend with the rivalry and the history of these two clubs in Collingwood and Carlton. And you look at the game in its entirety, but you look at the specific matchups, and you know, this guy's probably the front runner for all Australian captain at the moment in Darcy Moore. I just thought his game was brilliant. He's the best intercept player in the competition. To come up against Curno, and you could make an argument that Curno still had a relatively good game with the service, but Darcy Moore, I mean, if you compare this to the Port Adelaide Melbourne game, and what Port did so well is they kicked the ball around Gawn and Grundy, and they were really smart when they had the ball in hand. They knew where not to go, and it usually was to those two players. Yet what Carlton did is, it's not like they continuously kicked it to Darcy Moore, but he continuously put himself in a position where he knew the ball would go.
Yeah.
And then we heard Steele Sidebottom after the game, and he wasn't laughing in a disrespectful way. He was saying that, you know, Darcy Moore kept getting himself in a position to be able to rebound the ball. So as a midfielder or as a wingman, it becomes a lot easier to anticipate off that type of play. So, you know, he's arguably playing a position where it might be the most important position on the ground, because it not only stops goals, but it allows you to rebound and attack as well. So I thought his performance yesterday was outstanding.
Hard to argue with that. 25 disposals for Darcy, 12 intercept marks, 17 intercept possessions, 10 contested possessions, 19 pressure points, which is up through the roof, and a dominant performance for the Pies in their 28-point win over the Blues. Just quickly on the Blues before we get to the rest of the podium. Now, they were sort of outplayed in that second quarter. Sorry, the first quarter, they've blown away 5-1. And it's at halftime, it's, you know, it's 5 goals or 6 goals. The margin, they get a little bit back in the second half. They've been disappointing to this point, and clearly not good enough to beat the top teams of what we've seen. Michael Voss admitting that after the game. Was there anything in that performance for Blues fans yesterday?
It's hard because, I mean, you come into this season with high expectations, and then you try and, you know, look for little signs along the way. I thought Cherry's game was good, to be honest. He's starting to click for me, and his stuff in and around the ball, I thought, stood out. He's disposal by foot. You know, his ability to get forward of the ball and have some scoring shots, and you know, he could have quite honestly kicked 2 goals. But yeah, there's sort of, you probably got to search for some stuff. They just don't have that spunk and that bounce, especially out of their midfield. Their defence is under a lot of pressure, and they just don't have a way in which they can move the ball and get some easy disposals and some easy goals at the moment. So, yeah, they've probably been the disappointment of 2023 so far, I think, because of the list they've got, and relatively healthy at the moment. I think Carlton supporters and me as a football watcher would have expected more.
3-9 to 3-2 in the second half to the Blues.
Yeah.
So we've got to make the most of the opportunities against the Magpies. We've learnt that through this season. So Darcy Moore's on the bottom step. Who's on the second step?
The two top dominated by Zach. But the second one for me is Zach Merritt. I think, you know, Essendon Football Club have been through a lot clearly over the last probably decade. And this player has been at the forefront. He's been quite opinionated of their performances, of the way that they should play, of the club and everything that's involved. And he's really put himself out there to be a spokesperson. And I think wins like yesterday, if you're an Essendon fan and you leave that game and you've had a few close losses against big sides, but this was a rivalry where you just saw your side hang in there and fight and get the win. And it was on the back of the performance of Zach Merritt. So it's one of those wins that can really cleanse the soul and you know, show some positive signs. And you know, the game was, you're on the edge of your seat for the majority of the game. And the way that it finished, you know, Jake Stringer has some important plays late in that term. Zach Merritt stands up with some defensive stuff. And then Durham kicks the goal in the end. But I thought Zach Merritt, the way that he led and the way that he performed on a night where, you know, losing wasn't really an option for them, if they're going to progress and take steps forward,
yep,
I thought his performance was huge.
No, couldn't agree more. I think it was the easiest 3 votes to give for the whole year so far for Zach Merritt. He was sublime in that win by the Bombers. And the last gasp over the Tigers on Saturday night at Dreamtime, a dramatic finish. And breaks the streak too, 13 games in a row. The Tigers have beaten the Bombers.
2014, yeah.
Yeah, it's a magnificent performance by them, and it really does. And they've got Kangaroos twice and West Coast twice still to come. And I think Hawthorn as well, the Bombers. So that might be 5 in the pocket before they start, which gives them 10 wins already for the year with the 6 games still to be played on the outside of those, Jordan. So that's not a bad look there for the Bombers.
That makes fun. I mean, I don't want to go back to pre-season predictions, but where did they sit for you?
No, they were, I think I had them sort of 10, 11 maybe, somewhere around there, middling, which they still might be, but I think they're better than I thought they were going to be. Is where they are at the moment, the Bombers. So they're going well, and a big win on Saturday night. But a bit of pain for the Tigers in that one. What about the top step? I think I know who it's going to be.
Well, is that Zach Butters? Yeah, it's obvious. I don't think there's a better user in the game than Zach Butters of 1-2 steps, of the ability to run down the wing and steady yourself and go inside forward 50, to use the angles that he uses. I think it's the best performance that I've seen this year by a player. When you add in the opposition, when you add in the conditions, and when you add in the what was at stake, you're coming up against the Melbourne side with Oliver Petrarca, Viney, Brayshaw, and the dominance of Gorn and Grundy. I just watched that game in awe of this young player, and he's just got such a great mix of toughness, awareness, and his use by foot was unbelievable. I think he went at 80 to 80, you know, low 80s percentage in terms of his disposal efficiency, 41 and 2 goals. It was a genuine... When you look at the stat sheet and you see someone's had 41 possessions, you go, okay, well, maybe he got some handball receives around the back, or you know, some junk time possessions late in the game, or whatever it might be. This was as genuine 41 disposal game as you will see in the game. And to add on top of that, 10 clearances. So he's not afraid to get his knees dirty. I thought it was the best performance this year by any player.
His emergence as a top quality player. Now, we know he's been a capable player, but what he's showing this year, without a doubt, is consistency and a high level of excellence. 41 and 2, as you say, is a pretty good night out coming up against that midfield. And they dominated that midfield, that Port Adelaide midfield against the D's on Friday night, which is not an easy thing to do, and really was the difference between the game, particularly when it got wet and a bit slippery. And they took away the aerial power of the D's, and those guys through the middle of the ground got to work for the power. And Zach Butters, I reckon you'd love him because he plays a bit tough too. He's on the edge a bit too, similar to you, Jordan.
Hey, well, and the same sort of speed. but sometimes to his detriment, right? Like, so you go, you'd wish you'd back out of some contests or whatever. But he lives and dies by the sword, and he's. You know, you could see the love that Ken Hinckley has for him. You know, when asked after the game about his performance, and I don't want to single out players, but yeah, you're right, it was a fantastic performance. But I just think there was a game, it might have been Gatherround when it was wet as well, and he and Rosie. And the other thing that they do is they play to their strength. So they understand that they can't get in a wrestle with on particular the weekend, the Melbourne midfielders. So they then go, okay, well, how do we maximise where we're good? Let's force them inside the contest and try and get the ball to the outside, and then bang, we explode and use our pace. And even when they had the opportunity to move the ball, they didn't move it like a lot of people do. They didn't accept that they were going to go long down the line a lot of the times. They still used the angles to try and pick apart the Melbourne defence. So I just thought the way in which they attacked the game and stuck to the game plan, and yes, they only won by 4 points. It wasn't as if they belted Melbourne off the park. But I just thought that their ability to control the midfield, and Rosie and Butters were probably the two that stood out. And as well as Boak going off, so they missed that leadership. Yeah, I thought it was a really good performance.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. Magnificent work for you. Now, you've got to play for the Buchan Footy Club this weekend. We need you to get over this situation so you can be a Buchan beauty this week for the boys. Are you going to be right?
I think I should be right. Even if I'm on my deathbed, I'm still going to go up and play. So, it's a good opportunity. I was feeling the pressure after David Mundy played last week, kick six, and had 45 touches. But I think after Kane's performance on the weekend, the pressure's eased a little bit. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting up there and pulling on the boots again. I haven't done it since 2019, so literally the last match I ever played was an AFL match. So it'll be interesting to see how it feels and how we perform. And hopefully get up there and get Buchan a win.
Yeah, it's going to be a Buchan great day, I reckon, this weekend for you at the footy. Go get them, mate. They look after yourself. Get a butter menthol. We'll chat soon.
Good stuff.